God's Long-Suffering is Salvation, a meditation by Reverend Ron Van Overloop. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, 2 Peter 3, verse 15a. Peter is ending his letter to some new Christians with an appeal that they stand fast and endure. He does not want to see them despair and give up. There is evidence that some of them had already become faint and had not endured. Verse 16. The danger is that they would be led away and fall from their own steadfastness. 17. The key to practicing the virtue of patient endurance, strength, and stability is the knowledge of God's word generally. So Peter speaks of the scriptures as they came through his spiritual brother Paul in verse 15b and 16. Specifically, the ability to be steadfast in the face of many temptations is to know God and to know what His Word says about His virtue of long-suffering. Hence the admonition of our text, account, or reckon, the long-suffering of God to be our salvation. Why is the admonition to be steadfast necessary and important? Just how are we to understand God's attribute of long-suffering? What does it mean that God's long-suffering is salvation? And what kind of persons ought we to be so we reflect this virtue of God? There are several reasons for the admonition to consider God's long-suffering to be salvation. First, it is necessary because there always seems to be a delay in the fulfillment of God's promise that the Lord Jesus will return. Many early Christians, after hearing that Jesus would return, concluded that He would come back very soon. Then, when He did not come back at that time that they anticipated, they began to question the promise of God that Jesus would return. And then they wondered whether God was keeping any of His promises. Whenever we doubt God, we will be afraid. This is what it means to fall from steadfastness. We become unstable. Through the whole of this epistle, Peter has been assuring the Christians that they are in the right. He has shown them the importance of remembering what they knew and had learned from the apostles in chapter 1, verse 12 through 21, and chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Further, Peter spent a great deal of time demonstrating from history that God knows how to deliver the godly and how to reserve the unjust for punishment, chapter 2, verse 1 through 9. Second, the admonition to remain steadfast arises because of the persistent and always irritating work of the false teachers and scoffers. The error of the wicked, chapter 3, verse 17, discourages believers. The wicked constantly tempt us to despair, to give in, and to give up. This is why we always need the reminder to endure, to hang on. Thirdly, the need for the admonition to be steadfast arises from our natural instability. By nature, we are pessimistic about our enduring or about our children and grandchildren being able to withstand the fiery darts of the evil one. By nature, we see the power of temptations and the sweetness of the allurements of this world. By nature, we focus on the present and on the earthly. It is so easy for us to be diligent when it comes to material things, but to be quite lazy with regard to the spiritual. We can get very excited about watching college football games or about deer hunting, but when it comes to reading a chapter of the Bible or an article in the Standard Bearer, we do it out of a sense of obligation, without any of the enthusiasm we have when we do something that satisfies our earthly life. We are easily distracted from setting our hope on the things above and on the inheritance to come. It is natural to focus on the things that are here and now. How do we resist these temptations and these natural tendencies? How can we remain steadfast? Be careful that we do not answer these questions by depending on our willpower or on our strength. Rather, the way to steadfastness is to account the long-suffering of our Lord to be salvation. Scripture shows that long-suffering is an attribute of God. When God's glory passed before Moses as he was hid in the cleft of the rock, then Moses heard God say, "Jehovah, Jehovah God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." Exodus 34, verse 6. Moses quoted this statement of God when he made intercession for Israel. "And now, I beseech thee, let the power of my Lord be great, according as thou hast spoken, saying, The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy." Numbers 14, verse 17 and 18. David pleaded with God on the basis of his being long-suffering in Psalm 86, verse 15. But thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Long-suffering is an attitude of God's love and mercy toward his people. First, long-suffering is God in his mercy willing, constantly and unchangeably, the final perfection of his people in the fullness of heavenly glory in Christ. Further, long-suffering is God willing that this glorious end be reached only in the way of suffering. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 14, verse 22. This suffering is a necessary means God's love has determined for us to reach our final perfection in all its fullness. In order to enter glory, we must fill God's appointed measure of suffering. In fact, the suffering is said to work glory. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 17. Our present chastening may be grievous, but it yields the fruit of righteousness in them that are exercised by the chastening. Hebrews 12, verse 11. The young Christians to whom Peter was writing had the promise of final salvation. It was for the fulfillment of that promise that they eagerly awaited. While waiting, they were suffering. This suffering made stronger their fervent longing for the final perfection in Christ. But as these young Christians, and we, wait, it is easy to become impatient at what we think is God's delay in sending the Lord Jesus. By nature, we would despair. Peter calls Christians to reckon God's tarrying not as a delay, but as his long-suffering. Realize that the sufferings of this present time fit us for glory. Further, realize that some of the elect of God are not yet conceived and born. They were elected into the body of Christ, but if Jesus would return right now, bringing relief to our suffering, then the whole of the body of Christ would not be present. God waits so that none might perish, but that all the elect will be born and converted. God's long-suffering does save. In light of God's long-suffering working our salvation, we ought to be patient. In patience, let us trust his infinite wisdom and eternal love to know what is best for each member of Christ's body and for the whole of Christ's body. And in our patience, let us more and more practice the virtue of long-suffering. This is an attribute of God that he enables his children to reflect. It is part of the ninefold fruit of the Spirit given to every believer. Galatians 5, verse 22. Realize that we must be long-suffering. God commands us to be so. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth, is long-suffering, for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it. Be ye also patient, long-suffering. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. James 5, verse 7 and 8. We are commanded to put on long-suffering. Colossians 3, verse 12. The key to developing long-suffering is prayer. Paul prays God to give it to the saints. Colossians 1, verse 9 through 11. Pray for the ability to be assured of God's promise to give us an inheritance in eternal glory. Pray to trust God's loving and wise hand in all the crosses he puts in our path. Pray for the ability to subject our desires and self-interest to his perfect will. Exercise long-suffering in your attitude toward afflictions and griefs. The natural reaction to griefs and disappointments is despair. Long-suffering enables us to bear long and well the crosses God gives. We learn that each cross is determined by our loving and wise God to be necessary, and we learn that his grace is sufficient, that is, that his undeserved favor for us is the power that strengthens us to bear or take up the cross. Follow the example of our Savior and Master, who was aware that his Father's long-suffering was for our salvation. He is now our Lord at God's right hand, ruling over all things in heaven and in earth. It is our Lord who is exercising long-suffering in order to accomplish salvation for each one and for all of his people. Divine long-suffering is salvation.